It's time for Wisdom on Replay with Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim. Wisdom on Replay is brought to you by Levy Steel, the Candywood Wine Cellar, and Cafe 422. Here's your host, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jim.
Welcome back. We took a little hiatus there for the holidays. A lot of family stuff. Boy, did that go fast, huh?
Absolutely.
Jeez, man. Oh, man, it was Thanksgiving. Then
two and a half weeks was like 2.5 days.
I carved a pumpkin, and then we were taking the tree down. So we're back with you this week. Wisdom on Replay, Nostra Thomas and Coach Jimmy Devine.
There we go. My sixth official title.
Keep the people on their toes. There we go. But I want to thank a couple sponsors right off the bat. A new one, Joey Sabatine, Masters Bar and Grill, TJ Perline Asphalt. And if you want to rip off, and then we'll do the rest of
the got a couple of mine. Obviously, the Den, Mr. DiGiacomo, our fearless leader over at our facility. Del Gray and Pete Roberto. Franklin Healthcare over in Warren with Lee Manios. And the Alesia family. We've got more. Obviously, we'll go through towards the end,
right,
front and beginning. And we're going to get going with a special guest today, though. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Special guest from the start of the Eastwood. Well, then it was Cafaro Field Stadium and the home of the Scrappers. We have Andy Milovich, the actual GM that had to kick that ball. And it was a lot going on when he was the GM. So I'm welcoming as my guest. I'm thankful he called in the show, and we really appreciate it. How's it going, Andy?
It's going great. Great to hear from you guys. And just thinking about the show today, it made me sit back and reflect on all the great times, the great memories, and the great fun we had there. It was what a great time.
And you had a lot. I mean, because there was no model to really go from that we had, because we had also the dynamics of the Cafaro family and Palisades and all that meshing together, plus starting something new like that. You did a heck of a good job. I do know that.
I would sit and look at that, Andy. Yeah, that'd be like one of the top five balancing on the bridge negotiating jobs of all time, because you had – Yeah, listen, brother, because I knew about Palisades. I had friends of mine, former business partners of mine, that were interested after you left into buying the team, and they had spoken to Palisades. And I remember they had spoken to him a few times and came back and saw me and were like, these guys are a little bit crazy. I was like, okay. And then my thought went to you, because you and I had met a few times. And like I said, we'd met a few times, and I was like, man, you talk about being a, I think about the old video game Pong about, you know, boing, boing.
Well, it was really boing. Hard for me, because I was in the middle of the whole thing, and what you had was a dynamic of, like, the Scrappers had their thing, and they're trying to make money, and then the Cafaros had to get their money, and then if you brought in a promoter, you know, they had to get some money, and it was just
that was
so
a big concert period,
hard
I remember
to
that
do.
In the stadium.
And everybody, when we had Bob Crosby, that was just the funniest part of the. I remember those days, and some of the looks that you used to give me, because I had to be a part of that side of it. But there was a couple of times I remember. Hey, do you remember this one, Andy? When the field protection, they have to put the wood down, and everyone's complaining about getting the field down, and Crosby hadn't done anything. Like, everybody's out doing everything, rolling barrels, getting stuff, trying to sweating to death, or picking up puke, doing all. And I go, you know what we should do? Put some field protection under Bob's feet. He hasn't moved in the last hour and a half. And we all start laughing, because he went out to do a doobie or something and never came back. And where the heck did he go?
He used to get some colorful creatures.
And Andy was so patient up until a point. And then there was a couple of really funny moments. But, you know, it is where it is now. And just want to ask you, you know, how that all started. How was a lot of sleepless nights? Was it, you know, because I know the dynamic of the owner at the time, and I know that wasn't a picnic basket either. So just wanted you to kind of go through that.
And go through your history, too. How you got there.
And where'd you go from there, and where you are now.
Yeah, so I think, like, I played baseball in college, and kind of my whole life revolved around baseball.
Yep.
And when I was kind of coming out, I was like, well, what? Not good enough to play anymore. Nobody seemed to want me to coach, so I thought this would be a fun way to stay involved in the game. And, you know, was fortunate to get an opportunity in Madison, Wisconsin, with a new team that was starting up in a first-year franchise with an ownership group that wasn't particularly great. And then I joined the Palisades in Erie, and Palisades baseball owned the team in South Bend where I'd interned
That's
a couple
right.
of years earlier. And after a couple of years there, I was fortunate to take over that franchise right before we were awarded a double-A team to come to Erie, which forced us to relocate the single-A team. And we were looking around at different options, and, you know, there weren't a ton of great markets available in Youngstown. The Youngstown Warren area, frankly, was a fantastic place to move a franchise, but it was in the territory of the Cleveland Indians, and Even the Arrows made claims to that territory in Akron
yeah.
at the time. And so there were a lot of hoops to jump through to make it happen. And I remember vividly the first visit we made to Niles, Ohio. We had engaged with some attorneys. Somebody had referred us to Don Ford. His dad, Judge Ford, was a judge there that was
yep.
really well connected and known.
Yep.
Well, they connected us with some other folks that knew the lay of the land there well, and they arranged a meeting with Congressman Traffican at the time.
Yeah.
And Alan and I drove down from Erie, and you know, we had a relationship with the Mill Creek Mall up there, and
right.
worked with them on stuff promotionally, and we drove down to this meeting with the congressman, and Alan forgot to pack a tie. And so we got to the mall early. We drove in past Coates Car Care there, drove through Niles, drove up to the mall, and kind of got ourselves lost that we ended up kind of south of where we needed to be. And we ran into Dillard so he could buy himself a tie because he didn't want to meet with a congressman without one. And we walked into Congressman Traffican's office in the Eastwood Mall there and met with him, and he's got his blue polyester light blue suit with the butterfly collars open and his boots and his hair in full effect, and I'm like, this
Michael J. Fox tie.
Somebody could have warned you. Somebody could have warned you.
Yeah, and you know, there really wasn't a whole lot of internet, so like I didn't have any insight into who Jim was at the time. And we walked out, and I looked at Al, and I go, "Hope you left a tag on that tie because I think you can return it. You didn't need to buy that thing." And then we started kind of meeting with everybody in town, you know, Mayor Infant, Neil Bustino and Niles, and the mayor of Warren and Georgian, Youngstown. And it was pretty clear that, you know, a publicly financed ballpark that happened quickly was probably not going to happen. And Mr. Cafaro, you know, stepped up and went from being the donor of the land to saying, hey, I'm going to do this, we're going to build this, and I'm going to make this happen. And, you know, to his credit, I think, obviously, you can't emphasize enough what he built and the
yep.
impact that he had on the Valley and what
Huge.
He did there. And,
the lasting history of it, too.
Yeah, and so he committed to building the ballpark, and then that forced kind of Alan and Tony and JJ to sit down and figure out, okay, how do we kind of make this work? And it was just such a unique situation because at that time there really aren't there was less than five privately built stadiums in minor major league levels of all sports at the time, and
right.
you know. The traditional scenario is that a city or a state or a county will kind of build a ballpark, and they don't have any interest in running it. They're not trying to monetize it. They just want to see it be successful and have a great impact on the community. And, you know, Alan kind of came from the entertainment world in Los Angeles, and, you know, where you shake hands, you do a deal, and, you know, lawyers are sorting things out 3 years after the movie or the TV show has hit the airs. And so we went from that kind of footloose, fancy free approach
to the most detailed people on the planet.
Yeah. The most anal retentive negotiators you're ever going to meet. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way. It just that's where they are.
No, it was just two totally different cultures. And then, you know, to Tom's point, when they said, all right, we're going to start doing concerts and things like that to generate additional income, and, you know, hired Bob Crosby, who was kind of used to that kind of Hollywood, we'll figure it out later, let's just rock and roll approach.
Yeah.
It was... There was times where it was just total chaos, and I've joked a long time. I was fortunate to have a chance to open three new ballparks in my life, and I've often said a new ballpark will take 5 years off your life. I think that one may have been closer to 8 or 9 years.
And then trying to bridge the gap between the crazy promoter who wants everything, and then you've got my company who doesn't want to give anything, and then the scrappers want to, we'd like to make some money here,
too. It is
our
home field, yeah.
It was just so hard. It's like the promoter, it was just, we did such a unbelievable, having those shows and putting it together was unbelievably difficult. And it wasn't just a little, bring that. It was semis over wood, and it was pulling it up. You know, people puked all over. We're rolling it up. Anthony's right in the middle of us. You know, he's rolling up the field protection, too. And it was just, and then you would just be up for days because you had to have all those things happen at the same time. And I just remember some of the most, where I was so drained by the time it was over, because I had Crosby promising the world to everybody, and then he wants to do disco balls and dance floors, and he's like, you guys want to make money too? No, Bob, we're just out here having a good old time.
Andy, you would have, you would have had to have found that had to be like the greatest managerial internship of chaos, of how to manage chaos, I would have to think.
Yeah, like every one of these minor league baseball operations, frankly, is managed chaos at the time. But this was just a completely different element and list of things to kind of juggle. And, you know, some of the things that, like, stick out to me.
What are your big, like, this was nuts?
Like, I remember vividly when the ballpark was being built and the sod was going down, and, you know, Matt Duncan, who is the grounds guy, still lives there.
He's still fooling around over there, yeah.
He would flip out on anybody walking on the grass.
Oh, my gosh,
still does. Grows by the inch, dies by the feet or the foot.
Yep, I just heard him say that.
I'm walking through the concourse, and Tony Caparo's walking across the field towards the pitcher's mound, and Matt just comes out yelling, dropping F-bombs. He's out in right field. He can't see who it is. And I'm like, whoa.
TV timeout.
I think if he wants to walk on the grass, he can walk on the grass. it was just so, everybody there from the team side and the Caparo side took such great pride in the ballpark and what it meant to the community that, you know, and then at the time the Indians were riding such a high, and you know you can't find a more intensive market than the Valley. It really was an incredible time to be a part of all that.
Yep, it was.
And you know, it was an incredible run. I learned more probably during that kind of 4 or 5 years of getting that thing off the ground, the first couple of years of operating it, than I learned at any other point in my life. Just, there were so many unique personalities, so many different viewpoints, and just such an incredible.
That might be the greatest that might be the kindest and greatest analogy.
And it was also trying to rally all those troops to get these things done, knowing there was such a time element to it in the setup and the teardown. We had limited time, so you couldn't have anything break down or groups not show up or a big rainstorm, which, I don't know if you remember the Nelly one where it completely washed it out and couldn't get the stage out of there. Had to go. Oh gosh. I mean, some of those nights, I mean, I just actually would cry because the Indian schedule, you couldn't just have a rain out. Oh, well, we couldn't get the stage out. You can't do that. So you got to get it out.
And we, I want to say, we were standing under the VIP tent at the, was it the Martina McBride concert? Where there was torrential downpours and Anthony was on his cell phone with the Youngstown Airport because the insurance, the concert was insured and we had to hit like a tenth of an inch of rain or a quarter of an inch of rain in order for it to wash out and pay out. And, you know, the concert business is a tough business. And we killed it with Kenny Rogers on the first one.
Oh, it was like a gigantic home run.
The other ones were, and that of course makes everybody think we got to do more concerts. Like, let's go crazy. So they hire Crosby, and he comes in. We got five or six shows the next year, and that Martina McBride one, the ticket sales were woeful. And it was like, uh-oh, we're going to take a $200,000 bath on this show.
Yeah, no, it was right after 9/11. And it just tanked.
That gave us, like, it was like the best thing that could happen is this rain, but we got to get to, you know, the threshold.
Got to get to the amount
of rain to wash it out and collect the check. And it was like literally on the phone for 20 minutes with the airport going, are we up to a quarter inch yet? Are we up to a quarter inch yet?
I remember that. Yeah.
And Anthony goes, that's it. Call it.
How about what's funny is Anthony, you know, our company, a lot of the people from the company were there. You know, Tim Mattoon was there. He's there having fun. Anthony's going, what does Clause whatever say? He goes, I don't know what the heck it says. I've had about 10 beers. I don't know.
I can't read right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We had all those people running around on the that one, and we did David Lee Roth. It was such a success, and I'm basking in the glory, and then it poured like a hurricane, and I'm looking down there, and here goes the tow motor stuck in the mud, and I mean, I just completely fell apart. I mean, just come on. We were done. Everyone, jump. Everyone's, that's the greatest show. And then, boom, it's all over. Had to hire helicopters to dry the field. Boy, the budget went bad there.
Yeah.
Andy, how did that experience help you move along? And obviously, I mean, you've traveled pretty far.
Yeah, from there, where did you go?
Like I said, how did it help you lead to what you're doing now?
Yeah, so I went from there. We had an opportunity to buy the franchise in Charleston, West Virginia. They had a new stadium that was hanging in the balance, and there was a lawsuit that was holding it off. So I went down there and got to spend 9 years in West Virginia overseeing the last year at the old ballpark and launching the new one. Allen was retiring and divesting, and an opportunity presented itself to move to Myrtle Beach with the Greenberg Sports Group. So
That had to be tough.
That was a good move.
Had to be tough.
Yeah, I grew up in northern Indiana, you know, worked in Erie, worked in the Youngstown Warren area, worked in West Virginia, and then it was like, wait a minute, we get to go to the beach? So that was a pretty awesome 6 years at the beach, and that led to the opportunity to come here and work in Frisco, which is just north of Dallas here in the Metroplex, and spent a year and a half here, went through COVID, and during COVID, when everybody in the world, especially in minor league sports, was trying to figure out how they were going to eke out a living,
right,
I had a job opportunity kind of come my way to join a company that my buddy had started, and on the marketing side of things, and so I joined him, helped him kind of build that up from 3 full-time employees to about 30 full-time equivalents. We made a couple of Inc. 5000 lists.
Oh, wow, good.
But it wasn't a sports-only company. We worked with a lot of sports teams because I had relationships there and brought them in, and that was selling like streaming television and digital advertising. And now I'm actually back with a company that's based in Ohio on the other end of the state in Cincinnati called Revelocity Sports, where we help teams understand their fan base, their ticketing data, match those to personas, and then build personalized marketing to help teams drive better ticket sales and retention. So I was in Indy back in 3-4 months ago for the Minor League Business Summit. And
you're on the other side now. You were selling to them.
Yeah, and so I talked to, like, Jordan and Heather, and we had talked about the relationship with the Cafaro company and the scrappers now, which is awesome and something that, frankly, should have happened in year one. Like, as I look back on it, we spent so much time and energy kind of butting heads trying to figure out, you know, who was right, who could do what, who had what authority, that I kept saying on my way out of town when I met with Anthony, like, you know, we really, if we were truly partners on this thing and you figured out how to leverage everything you're good at and everything that we're good at to build this into the juggernaut it could be and the impact it could have, like, it would have been such a different kind of experience. Yep. And now they're finally there. So it's really cool to see it come full circle.
Well, I can tell you, you're right. It come full circle. And in the middle there, I don't think Dave, I love Dave, said, but I don't think the transition between you to him was probably one of the worst things that could have happened, because their personality wasn't the same, and it really
a lot of
horn-butting from
Let's
there.
Let's do the diplomatic and a lot of adjustment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Jordan's kind of like came like from your style, and now he's a lot like the way you were doing it, and I think it's working really good with Jordan. Yeah.
And I think it's a great fit too, and it's crazy to me. Like, I mean, we're in what, 2026.
Wow.
I hired, I think we hired Jordan in going into the 2000 season. So the second year we hired him full time.
Wow,
tie to you, is him.
He interned with it with us in '99. Then we hired him full time. And Heather, we hired in 2000 full-time in a ticket sales role,
right,
who's now the GM. And the fact that the two of them and Matt Thompson, who was there with me, Brad Hoosier was there with us.
Yeah.
They're still running it and doing an incredible job.
It's amazing.
It's
yep.
crazy, because most teams experience so much turnover that the continuity they've had and the investment they have in the community and the team, it's just... it's really cool to see, and it makes me feel super old.
Oh, I still can't even believe that. Seems like yesterday, that opening day and stuff. And my goodness gracious, 26.
Well, on mine with Jordan was Jordan when I first opened Swing Lab, the first leg of our developmental company with the players. Jordan was my sales rep. He would come down and see me, and you know, we bought tickets and bought. You know, and I'd met you a few times, and then we moved out to the mall. Then we moved out to Austintown, and all along, we had some Dave Smith fun there when we moved to the mall.
And then it's fun.
And then Jordan got on, and his son, his son's our client. Him and his daughter, the boy and the girl, both are clients of ours in our building, and him and I've stayed friends forever. Matter of fact, I think we got to meet with him later this week. But just looking at it, you know, that we're awfully lucky that there is a minor league developmental situation in Niles. You know, it's at the same time our business was developing. It's been great for us. And like I said with Jordan, Jordan's, you know, he's wonderful. He's a great guy, great friend. But to think it was that long ago, because we're going on 26 years as far as his and I relationship.
It's crazy. Like, you know, we were just a bunch of kids running around and having fun and, frankly, kind of out of control.
Remember those good softball games we had, though, when you cleared out all the beer at the end of the season?
Yeah. Yeah. The best time of the year you're trying as an operator to tell everybody, hey, we don't want to have, like, 100 partial kegs tapped at the end of the year. Let's kind of whittle it down. But then the 26-year-old reckless part of your in you is like, well, let's make sure we don't get rid of all of it. Like, we need to have some for the staff here in the office.
That's right. End of the year.
I would do a show and then hide from, remember we would do the Rib Fest sometimes in the stadium lot. And then I would come in, hide from everybody, and have beers with your staff in there watching it from the Lowe's. Oh, yeah, no, they need me again. Uh-oh. Here, I got to go back in there.
That was the safest place to be, was watching from the suite up there.
No, it was great.
Behind the show.
It was so good.
I still remember we had a guy, Brent, on our staff, who wasn't always the friendliest person in the world. I'm gonna leave last names out of it. So
I think I remember who you're talking about.
I know who he's talking about.
Anytime there was the Rib Fest or something taking place outside of the stadium, he would get perturbed because, of course, that led to a lot of phone calls and people stopping in, and, you know, disrupt what he was focused on. And so I listened to. I'm sitting in my office and he's yelling and at somebody out front. I'm like, "What are we doing?" I got up and I got to walk out front. And he comes walking back towards me and he goes, "This is ridiculous. I'm sick of it." He goes, we don't have anything to do with this. And we got people coming in, you know, demanding that they use our restroom because they're too good to use a port-a-john. And then I look across the window there at the reception area, and it was George the Animal Steel. And he had to drop a deuce, and he didn't want to use a port-a-john. He's a big guy. And I looked at Brent, and I was like, "Look, this is one of the biggest names in professional wrestling. If you're signing autographs for Dominic,
you're giving the guy a hard time."
He had a ring out there. Yeah,
the guy wants to come in and take care of business and tell him there's no way get the hell out of here. These aren't for public use.
How about what I told Samoa Joe and the TNA wrestling, where the dome fell down? I go, "Nah, it'll be fine." He goes, "It's cold." And I go, "It's not cold in there." And the other guy goes, "You know that's Samoa Joe, right? You want to keep telling him it's not cold?"
You keep lying.
I said, "You know, I'll look at the heater. I'll find out. I'll go, Kenny."
Andy, we'll have to make this a semi-regular, like every couple months. Bro,
we could have talked to you for 3 hours.
Yeah, we'd had a great time.
We didn't even cover half of it.
Right. But we'll have to make it a regularly scheduled thing.
You think about those guys that came through there in that year one. With
the players in there, yeah.
Victor
Martinez. Yeah, we got to have you back. You know what?
Ryan Dries.
We're going to have you back next week. Let's just do A and B then.
Okay.
If you can do it, Andy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay, that would be awesome.
Okay.
Well, we're going to go for now, but Andy, I can't tell you how appreciative I am, and I can't wait to tell Anthony to listen to the show.
Well, thanks for making the sacrifice, taking the time. We appreciate
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys, and just glad you guys still remember my name.
I'm a rock star. Diamond 9, huge equipment blowout. Anybody needs bats, gloves?
Equipment blowout.
We're going until the 15th. I mean, we're getting, you know, major league level equipment for pennies on the dollar. Give us a call. I want to go through and thank some of our Gatta Construction, Levy Steel, DNR Audio, and Damon LaRiviere, Sherry Gordon Salon. We're going to have some great deals for her and her salon coming in February. You want to make sure you have the Elysia family, Red Plum for feeding us all the time. Staffordo Charlie's. We're going to go with the Kearns family. You've done some wonderful things for us.
422 in the wine cellar.
There you go.
And I want to throw out two games. Panthers plus 10.5. Green Bay minus 1.5. And we don't have time for the question.
Oh, Carl, maybe quick. Maybe if I'm stumped, I'll say I'm stumped. Can you?
Okay, so if there are two strikes on the batter and a runner stills home and the pitch hits the runner in the strike zone, is the batter out?
No.
Well, the batter is out.
Wow.
According to the rules. Yep. So the run,
that one.
The run does not score if there are two outs. If there are less than two outs, it does.
Okay. That's what I knew.
Yep.
All right.
Holy cow.
But here's the thing. He's making us better.
I don't know what to call that.
Carl's like the icing on the cake at the end because he makes us better baseball.
Jeez. I'm going to have to write that one down.
That's amazing. And thank you, my friend. That was a great one. And I finally missed one.
You did. I stumped you. Finally. Finally.
If I'd have sat down and slowed my mind down, but because we're in a rush.
I still don't get it how that would be.
We'll have to converse afterwards about that one. Thank you, Carl. Thanks, thank you for your patience today. I know we were going 100 miles an hour. Outstanding. Thank you. Have a great week.